Lord, we thank you this morning for your presence here among us, for your Holy Spirit being with us, no matter how many have gathered. And we thank you for your word. May it speak to us now. May the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, well, so we're just kicking off a new series today. It's called Take Me to Your River. So what we're doing for the next several weeks through about mid-February is working our way up to something called the Service of Consecration, which is going to be on February 21st. So symbolically on this picture, the blue stripe is the river. It's sort of abstract art here that I created, but the dark box along the trail there is where the Service of Consecration will take place. That's February 21st. That's the last Sunday of this series. But it's all about preparing us to cross the river of congregational vitality to move into the next thing. And so that's what we're doing. We're heading to the river. Good morning, everybody. We almost doubled in size just now. Look at that. to open, I have to give a little tip of the hat to John Wenrick, who is the director of Congregational Vitality for the denomination. And on Friday night of our Navigate conference that we were at the end of October, he spoke about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit has to do with congregational vitality. So a lot of what I say today will be adapted from what he said that night. I don't have extensive notes, but just to get it out of the way, if anything profound comes out of my mouth, it may not be my idea, but John's. Or it could just be the Holy Spirit, because that's the topic of the day. So the Holy Spirit, we'll talk about the Holy Spirit, then we'll talk about the Holy Spirit in each of us, and we'll talk about the Holy Spirit in all of us, and then we'll be done. But the Holy Spirit, as you've sung in Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Yes, indeed. So where does that idea come from? You may know that the word Trinity does not exist anywhere in Scripture, that it was a concept, a word that we invented to describe how we understand God. The Bible didn't actually have this word, but as we've discerned and studied the text, we've seen that God shows himself in three ways, through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And one really clear example of this is in John 14, where Jesus is praying. And he says this, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." So Jesus is praying, "I will ask the Father, and the Father will give to you the Spirit of truth," the Holy Spirit. So it's inner working relationship of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we see in so many ways Jesus praying to the Father, asking for the Spirit, and Jesus breathing the Spirit onto his disciples at the end of his ministry. All these ways we believe in three manifestations of God, three persons of God. But the Holy Spirit is the one that is least understood. Jesus we can latch on to because he had flesh and blood. He lived for 3 years on the earth, and we got stories of stuff that he did. The Holy Spirit is always a little bit more hard to pin down by nature because, well, it's Spirit. But an important thing about the Spirit is that the same Spirit is at work in all areas. So in the passage Sig just read for us, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6, we have, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. So if you say the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God, that's very, once again, Trinitarian language, because the Spirit is, well, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Lord is Jesus. Jesus is Lord. And God is shorthand for the Father. So the same Lord, the same Spirit, the same God is at work in each of us. And the way the Holy Spirit interacts in each of our lives has to do with how the Holy Spirit moves in our collective life together. That is, the Holy Spirit in each of us is the same Holy Spirit in all of us. So that's what we're going to explore today. This idea that the Holy Spirit is at work in each of us and also in all of us. And that those things are deeply connected. The way we relate individually to the Holy Spirit impacts how we as a group together can engage with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay. So it's each of us and it's all of us. So we'll start with the each of us part. One of the things that we talk about in our lives of faith is something called spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are, well, somebody name a spiritual discipline. Communion, very good. Prayer, yep. Fasting, yep. Anything else that would be a spiritual discipline? Waiting, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's not, I don't think there's going to be wrong answers, so if you have an idea, spit it out. Many disciplines can be spiritual if we are attentive to the Spirit while doing them, right? But yes, so prayer, fasting, Sabbath keeping, reading scripture slowly, silence, meditation, all these things are spiritual disciplines. We practice spiritual disciplines. Why? Why would you practice any of these spiritual disciplines that we just mentioned? Be closer to God. Everybody agree with that answer? Yeah. Any other reasons? That's probably the main one, right? We practice spiritual disciplines to be closer to God, to be connected to God, right? To be attentive to God. So the goal of spiritual disciplines is not to get really good at spiritual disciplines, right? The goal is not to, like, oh, look, I can meditate for a really long time now, or I can read 10 chapters of scripture a day and it's no problem now. I've worked my way up to that. Like, that may be a good thing, and being able to pray for a very long time may be a good thing, but the goal isn't to get good at the disciplines. The goal is always to be connected more deeply to the Spirit of God, to be more connected to God. And so if our spiritual disciplines are not serving the purpose of connecting us to God, well, then maybe we need to try some different disciplines, right? It's about being attentive to the Spirit and what the Spirit is doing in our life and all around us. So the Spirit works to comfort us, works to convict us. The Spirit does a lot of things in each of our lives. And another a thing that's very important as we gather is that the Spirit gifts each of us with spiritual gifts. We each have spiritual gifts of some kind. And John Wenrick uses this phrase that is important for us to discover, develop, and deploy our spiritual gifts. Discovering them can be the hardest part. What is my spiritual gift? I don't know what it is. And there's all sorts of assessments you can take that will try to tell you what your spiritual gifts are. Sometimes it's really obvious what your spiritual gift is. Like, oh, this person is obviously an encourager, right? They have the spiritual gift of encouragement. And you can just see it. It just oozes out of them. Or the spiritual gift of teaching or of mercy, of extending mercy to people. You know, sometimes it's very obvious. What's that? Empathy? Yeah, sure. That can be very similar to mercy in a lot of ways. So discovering our spiritual gifts, developing them, strengthening them, and then deploying them, working them out, is something that each of us has to do. And this is where the bridge exists between the each of us and the all of us. Because each of us discovers our spiritual gifts, each of us develops our spiritual gifts, but spiritual gifts are for a specific purpose. So, in the passage that we just read in 1 Corinthians 12, to each one, each of us in this room and those who aren't here today, each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Every person, every believer in Christ has some sort of manifestation of the Spirit, a gift from the Spirit given to them. And then it lists, right, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, interpreting different kinds of tongues. These are just lists of examples of ways that the Spirit can manifest itself in our lives. But to each one, it is given. So when we talk about deploying our spiritual gifts, like actually acting them out, living them out in the world, we finish the verse, 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So our spiritual gifts are given to us not so that we can become spiritual superheroes. That may be a result of it, right? You may grow in, you may actually become a spiritual superhero. No, you may have strength in your faith. You may have a spirituality that is something to be emulated. But the goal is for the common good, right? Our gifts are given by the Spirit so that they can be gifts to the whole church, to the whole body. So each gift that each of us is given is a gift for all of us. Does that make sense? Yeah. Every gift that each of us is given becomes a gift for all of us, for the common good. And those gifts can be powerful. Acts 1:8 is this cornerstone passage about mission, where Jesus, right before he ascends into heaven, says, "But you will receive power." Dynamite. You will receive dynamite, power, effectiveness when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So many of us maybe memorize the part about you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But we can't forget that it starts with you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That mission is tied directly to the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not like, well, we're going to go be witnesses on our own, out of our own strength, out of our own cleverness, because we know a lot. But no, we're sent by the power, the effectiveness of the Holy Spirit. That's where we are sent into the world. one way that we just so you all know, organizationally as a church are trying to listen to the Spirit more is by practicing something called an agenda of thirds. I'll point to Acts again, Acts 15:28. We want to be able to say the same thing that these folks in the early church said. As they were discerning a hard leadership issue in the church, they said this: "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements." So they had wrestled with this very difficult issue in the church, involving Jews and Gentiles and their interactions, and after discerning and discussing, they were able to say, it seemed good, not just to us, but it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And we want to be able to say that in our church, right? That whatever we do, whatever decisions we make, are not just our decisions, but they're decisions of the Holy Spirit. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Not that we can say, God told me and I know 100%, you know, because sometimes, you know, we need to have humility too, that we can't always hear the voice of God absolutely perfectly either. but we're listening for the voice of God. So anything that seems good to us should also seem good to the Holy Spirit. So the agenda of thirds is this. When we gather for a meeting, the first part of the meeting is about how the Spirit is at work in me. So each person talks about what the Spirit is doing in our lives, in each of our lives. And then the second question that we ask at any meeting is, how is the Spirit at work in us? So we see the Spirit, how is the Spirit at work in each of us? And then how is the Spirit at work in all of us, corporately, together? And so the section of how is the Spirit at work in all of us, that usually ends up being the section of the meeting where we're discussing a lot of business, where we're talking about finances, where we're talking about issues that need to be discussed, because that is how the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, right? The Holy Spirit speaks to the church, and the Holy Spirit speaks to the leadership team throughout the whole meeting. Every time we gather to talk about things, it's about listening for the Spirit. So it's not just about throwing a budget together, but it's, what is the Spirit saying to us? How is the Spirit at work in us? And then the third question at any meeting is, what decisions should we make based on these? This is a real intentional step for us. We don't do it perfectly. We don't listen perfectly. But we believe it's important as leaders. And then I think that goes beyond that. But we're trying to set a good example, in other words. The leadership team in particular is trying to set a good example of listening for the Holy Spirit. So what decisions should we make based on what the Spirit is doing? Our decisions are based on what the Spirit is already at work doing. Just a couple more points. I want to read again from 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. So, there may be times where you feel like you don't fit. There may be times when you feel like you have a gift to bring to the church, but you don't know how to offer that gift. There may be times where it just doesn't seem to quite be working out. But I think that what the passage tells us is that the coherence of our gifts is rooted in the coherence of the triune God. That is, the way that our gifts work together, the way that our gifts, each of us brings our own gifts together, is rooted in the fact that God is able to be one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there's coherence there, right? There's coherence between the work of God the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Spirit. No one of those three ever does something against the other two, right? No one of the persons of the Trinity ever says, "Oh, I'm going to go do my way, and I don't care what you guys think." That doesn't happen, right? They may have different functions, but they're never contrary to one another, right? And so, you know, that's the great mystery of the Trinity: how the Father can handle this, and the Spirit can handle the Son being crucified here on earth, and how it breaks the Father's heart. It breaks the Father's heart to have to deal with that, to suffer the pain of his Son being crucified, but also knowing that is also a part of the Father. So in the same way that the three persons of the Trinity are always on the same page doing the same thing, that should be the grounding of us as a church living according to the Spirit. We should be on the same page in the same way the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son are on the same page, right? When we are all listening to the Spirit together, you know, this is an ideal concept, but if we're all listening to the Spirit, if we're all submitting our wills to the Spirit of God, then that's, I think that's the goal of what church should be. And our gifts would serve the church well because we're all on the same page. We're all listening to the same Spirit. We're all discerning the same Spirit. So ultimately, this is the final observation. Vitality. So this is a word that we use a lot, and we're going to continue to be using it a lot because we're on this pathway. Ultimately, what vitality is about is each of us and all of us operating on the same wavelength as the Spirit of God. I think that's the whole goal of congregational vitality. If each of us is submitting our lives to God, operating on the same wavelength as the Spirit of God, and then therefore all of us together in our systems and in how we relate to one another are operating on the same wavelength as the Spirit of God, then I don't think there's any way we could be stopped from growing, from flourishing, from being vital and healthy, from being healthy and missional. Right? Does that sound correct to you all? And that's what we want to do. So the goal of congregational vitality and this pathway is helping us to get on that same wavelength as the Spirit of God. And getting on the same wavelength as each other, communicating well, because we may have more differences than we realize. And it's not bad to have differences, but we need to acknowledge them and push through them and have conversations about our differences so that we can still be on the same wavelength as the Spirit of God, all together as a church. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit, for your grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, that each of us does not have to have all the answers, that no one of us is going to have all the gifts necessary to thrive, to be healthy and missional, but that when you put each of us together, when you put all of us into a church, into a body, right here at Bretton Woods, well, there's power. So, Lord, we ask for the power of your Spirit to be upon us today. We ask that you send your Spirit in new and mighty and powerful ways to your people. And we ask that you will help us to be attentive. And when we are attentive, when we are listening for you, will you speak to us? We want to hear your voice. We want to submit our wills to yours. We want to be on the same wavelength as your Spirit so that together we can walk more faithfully into the future that you have for us. It's in the strong name of the risen Lord Jesus that everybody said, amen.